favorite host, higher than most, on Kiss the Sky Radio, where we look at the culture, the medical benefits, the market, the environmental benefits, and the politics behind cannabis, ganja, weed, trees, turtle, and Mary Jane. So open your ears and mind while you roll up some top shelf, indulge in the world of edibles, or just sink into the show for a little bit of knowledge. On this session of Kiss the Sky Radio, we will be talking to the prolific journalist and political prisoner, Mumia Abu-Jamal, about cannabis and how it has affected him in his life, as well as his medical condition. Stay tuned. When did you first come into contact with marijuana, and what made you try it?
I met a sister, and I think her name was Audria. She was an older sister who first gave me a joint. You know, I was a teenager, so it did nothing for me. And, you know, it would be a while before I would, like, recognize its effect. This was the same sister, incidentally, who gave me the first copy of the Black Panther newspaper. So I thank her for both those gifts.
What made you join a pro-marijuana organization and eventually become the president?
Well, because I believe in freedom. And I enjoyed marijuana. I mean, it had really wonderful kind of psychological and physical effects. It was relaxing. It made you eat. But it also kind of liberated the mind. And this is actually, I think, before I even really began studying the Rastafarians and meeting them and talking with them. I just thought that people had the freedom to smoke what they wanted to smoke if they wanted to smoke. So, yeah.
What kinds of things did you guys organize around?
Just generally the freedom of the ability of free people to smoke what they wanted to smoke without the state interfering with that decision. We thought, you know, that that wasn't the state's business, that if you're a free person, that's your choice to make, you know, especially if you're an adult. So we saw it at that time. There are probably more young people smoking marijuana than they were smoking cigarettes. I'm talking about the 60s, 70s even.
I said when Malcolm Shabazz and I came to see you last, you told us to stick to the green. Why is that important as a message to society? Why did you tell us that specifically?
I don't remember. Perfectly honest. I remember meeting young Malcolm, but I don't remember me saying that. So I really can't answer that with any honesty or intelligence.
A while ago, I heard your interview with the revolutionary musician and Rastafarian Bob Marley. What interested you about him, and did you guys smoke?
Yes and yes. When I arrived at that interview, it might have been, I think, the summer or the spring of 1980, shortly before he made his transition. He was in a hotel in Philadelphia, and before we even began taping, he produced this huge spliff. And, of course, I tasted it. I'm just lucky that I had a tape recorder going, because otherwise I probably would have forgotten that interview, too. I found him utterly remarkable. Fresh, clear, one of the most magnificent musicians ever to grace the stage. Courageous, loving of all black people and people around the world. I really covered a lot of Rastafarians who came to the city to perform, a lot of groups. But his is perhaps the most memorable, because I remember him saying something that I never thought a Rasta person would say or even believe. And his idea of unity was so profound. He said, "Move his Rasta, man. Move his Rasta." And I remember being like, damn. The fact that he would say that, it was really deep to me. And so it just told me how deep and how broad and how thick his vision was. And that's the time we spent, you know, reasoning with one another was one of the finest interviews I've ever conducted, even though I, you know, had some medicinal help. It was just magical, because he was a magical creature.
What's going on with the case around you getting medication to treat your hepatitis C? And would you use products derived from cannabis or hemp plants if they were available?
If they were available in Pennsylvania, I probably would, because they would probably relieve some of the itching. But this is Pennsylvania. Even though they passed the bill on medical marijuana, I doubt very seriously if they'll supply that to people in the jail. The judge ruled that I had sued the wrong people, as they were state officials, and I should have sued something called the Hepatitis C Committee. The problem with that is until we had our hearing, we never knew that a Hepatitis C Committee existed. One of the Commonwealth's witnesses really informed us about it, and told us what it did, and again, we didn't know that they existed. We've never read anything about it. In fact, it was he who told us about what was referred to by us as a secret protocol. The state called it an interim protocol. They decided in this secret interim protocol that someone had esophageal varices, a fancy medical word for if you were bleeding from the throat and you couldn't process food and your kidneys and livers couldn't digest, then you would be considered to be put on the list to be treated. We learned at that hearing that out of 6,000 people who have chronic hepatitis C, the state said they only treated 5 or 6 people. It was incredible. So, you know, perhaps we should have amended right there, but we thought that, you know, that was beside the point. Anyone who promotes a protocol of death and torture, and as the judge said, a violation of the Eighth Amendment and deliberate indifference to people suffering, well, you know, that was the case. And so I am told by my lawyers that it will be amended if it hasn't been already, and we're going back into court to fight for the other half of this. Luckily, this is some daylight for 6,000 men and women who have hepatitis C and who are under the quote-unquote treatment of the DOC.
Besides the legal and all of that, how are you feeling?
You know, it waxes and wanes. I have good days and I have not so good days. And I'm sure that every day that I'm not treated, things can get worse very quickly. I would say I'm stable, I'm strong, I'm better than I was. But again, without that medication, I will only get worse. And as the judge said very clearly,
you know, have 1 minute left.
If you don't treat people, they'll die. So let's get it on. Thank you, brother.
Well, thank you. It was a long time coming. I had some other stuff, but I'll write you and we'll talk then.
Okay, buddy.
But stay strong, man.
You were just hit with the sound waves from Kiss the Sky Radio and your girl's favorite host, Higher Than Most. If you would like to hear more from us, you can listen to archive shows at kisstheskyradio.com, also on SoundCloud and most places where podcasts are listened to. And to quote my favorite rapper, Tupac Shakur, I'm high till I die, signing off.